Hello, star seeds, and welcome to another episode of Rooted in Starlight. I'm your host, Tricia M., and I am here to welcome you to another eclipse week that's kicking off on the 12th of May so that I can have some deeper connection and more connection with you over the next few days that will be leading us up to this full moon lunar eclipse taking place in Scorpio, which is the opposite sign of where the solar eclipse took place on April 30th. And this is called the full blood moon. And it is actually going to have, weather permitting, it will actually have the largest viewing range of a lunar eclipse in a very, very long time. And so for all of you in North America, we supposedly are able to have a good view of this lunar eclipse. And it will be starting, and again, all my times are Eastern Standard Time, so just keep that in mind. It will be starting at 9:35 p.m., and be lasting for about an hour and a half. So I know that I definitely want to do my best to take in some of the sights with this lunar eclipse and obviously see where, where it wants its energy to work with me. And obviously that's something we're all going to be experiencing. One of the reasons this lunar eclipse is, as some are saying, a bit more potent than the solar eclipse is because of its proximity and its relationship to the nodes. The solar eclipse was very early in Taurus. That was at, I believe, 10 degrees, if I'm being accurate here. And yeah, that was at 10 degrees Taurus. And this lunar eclipse, I'm sorry, is taking place at 25 degrees of Scorpio. And the south node during this eclipse is going to be at 22 degrees Scorpio, which means that the south node and the moon are actually in a position to be conjunct because they are within that 6 to 8 degrees orb of each other. So the moon is going to be absorbing this energy of the south node while it's also in a position to be opposing the sun, which will be at 25 degrees of Taurus, and the north node, the north node, which is at 22 degrees in Taurus. And so that's part of why we're looking at this eclipse as one that has a bit more of a punch to it and a bit more of an impact than the solar eclipse did back in the end of April, that, April 30th, May 1st. And then, of course, the other mix with this lunar eclipse is that we have Saturn in Aquarius at 24 degrees. And so Saturn will be squaring this eclipse. And so that in itself, and then of course it's also squaring the sun and the north node. So Saturn's going to be squaring the moon and the south node and also the sun and the north node because it's at this 24 degree mark. And one of the things that is interesting about that is on some level, there was one astrologer that turned around and asked the question of, well, this should be an interesting battle, so to speak, certainly an interesting meetup between the North Node, which is also referred to as the Dragon's Head. The South Node is the Dragon's Tail. And then, of course, you have Uranus in Taurus at 15 degrees. So Uranus, and I have to say, fortunately, Uranus is far enough apart that Saturn and Uranus are not actually in each other's orbs. And it's just outside, Uranus is just outside that north node orb as well. So, but it is interesting to think that in Saturn's case, Saturn going up against the dragon's tail, with this full moon lunar eclipse taking place in Scorpio, to kind of see what's going to shake out and kind of who may end up having, you know, the more dominant conversation and be providing more of the dominant energy. So I think that should be interesting to see how that plays out, because the nodes themselves are definitely very much providing energy for us on this Taurus-Scorpio axis. And you would be experiencing that depending on where these nodes are right now as far as how they're aspecting your natal chart. What houses are they at in your natal chart? And so depending on that, that's how you know what kind of energy you're going to be dealing with, not only for the next year and a half while these nodes are traveling through Taurus and Scorpio, but also with these eclipses that are going to be taking place in Taurus and Scorpio. And so we literally right now are in between eclipses, and yet you can feel that energy building as we are getting closer to this Scorpio full moon lunar eclipse. We also keep in mind that once we're finished with this eclipse, and there's the finishing piece, I kind of, you know, it's not that you're done with it in the sense that there's going to be a full moon. The full moon will happen, the eclipse will happen, and then obviously the moon continues to move on, and then it will start, you know, waning at a certain point. And so one of the elements about that that's really important to keep in mind is that, you know, that is really showing us, literally the moon shows us what change can look like in the way that she travels through the sky with her waxing and waning energy. And that's important because of this lunar eclipse taking place in Scorpio. Scorpio is very much the archetype of the alchemist. Scorpio is the sign that is, it's the fixed water, but this is the sign of the agent of change. Scorpio's phrase is, I desire. And what's interesting about that is that with the energy of this eclipse and this and the south node being a part of this, you also have the south node itself being about desires. I've said in the past that the south node has, the south node is the energy, and literally, you know, think of it as, you know, a chest that you might have where you have all your, you know, where you have keepsakes and valuables. And the south node is that chest that you keep tucked away with the things that you find valuable and you don't want anything to happen to them. And what is interesting about that for the south node is it covers the past. And so it is all about us coming into our current form of existence and this incarnation and this life that we're living, and recognizing that with the north node, wherever it is, it's asking us to grow and step outside our comfort zone. They refer to the north node as a little Jupiter, because the north node wants you to grow and expand. And it wants you to be able to do that just by you, you know, being willing to say, I am and I will, and then do the actions that are required in order for that. But those actions can be very small steps, and then the North Node is there to support you. What is interesting with the South Node is all about the energy that we have already experienced in the past. And that can be past lives for those of you that are certainly interested and fascinated with that and understand that, you know, our energy goes on in different forms. But it can also be past as in, you know, the past of our, you know, our current life that we're living. So it can be the childhood or your young adulthood can, you know, depending on the age that you are. And it, what the South Node does is it holds this energy of experience and desire that we've already lived, that we've already had, and yet we still want more of that. And so there's an element to us where we're trying to get back to that desire, trying to have that cup filled. And one of the things that's interesting with the South Node is part of what it's trying to teach us is to find a way to have that and not have an attachment to it. And yet what happens with us, especially with desire, and Scorpio is such a perfect sign for this to be taking place, is that, you know, we get very passionate about what we want and what we're trying to go after. And therefore, we can place a lot of attachment and expectation energy to it. And what our South Node is always trying to ask us to do is to be able to enjoy something and be able to do that knowing that this will change and this will go away, and be able to just have that moment and that experience and then just be able to let go of what it is that you were seeking, and that you may have found, and yet instead of grabbing hold of it and saying, oh, yes, great, I want this. And then, of course, what happens often once we do receive something that we've been pursuing and felt that we desperately were wanting it, is that you either, A, want more, or then you want something else new. And so it's being able to find a way. The South Node is always trying to teach us to be able to find a way to live the experience and enjoy the experience without becoming attached to it and without finding ways to control it and keep it within your possession. And that is part of what makes this lunar eclipse really interesting, because the South Node being in Scorpio, obviously, again, the archetype is this alchemist, this energy that is all about transformation and change, and fascinated with that, even if it fears it on some level, which, you know, obviously, as we're going through change, we normally are fearing it on some level. But Scorpio is also about that element of control and possession, where you're saying, you know, because it's a fixed sign. I mean, it's fixed water, and Taurus is fixed earth. And those two signs, you know, Taurus's phrase is I have, and Scorpio's phrase is I desire. And so with the South Node in Scorpio, you very much have this energy of the South Node trying to say, well, while I'm here, I want to be able to teach you how to want or how to desire without the need to possess and control. And that's very much part of the lesson of that. And so I feel that with this lunar eclipse, that's very much the energy that we're going to be working with. While on the opposite end of that axis, you have the sun and the north node in Taurus. And one of the things that's interesting, I was working, one of the very famous astrologers, Michael Luton, and I was in a class of his, and one of the way, I love the way he described the north node and the south node, because I thought it, first off, he used a real life example, and that's very much the way I like to operate, is to really show you how the planets interacting, how their energy interacting with our energy helps shape the way that our life looks and actually helps show us where we're putting our energy and whether that energy is supporting us or challenging us or, you know, causing problems for us. But so his example for the North Node and South Node was that the North Node is very much that you have this goal or you have this particular, you know, job or experience that you're having. And every day, you know that in order to be able to continue to work with this, you need to go to the corner and get this bus at this regular time at this corner, and it's going to take you into town, and then you're going to be able to continue to work on what it is that you're working on. And so what you do, because you know that, is every day you make sure you're at the corner and getting on this bus, and it takes you downtown, and you're able to work on what, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to work on in order for you to grow. So the example itself can just be a job. And then the South Node is this, I just loved this image, is the South Node is that you're on the corner waiting for this regular bus that shows up at a regular time. And here comes a limousine, and the window goes down on the limousine, and you just hear this voice say, "So, hey, do you want to go downtown?" And then, of course, depending on where you're at with your desire energy, whether or not you're going to step into the limousine or not is the mystery that only each one of us can answer on our own. But I thought that was a great example, a real life example of what the energy of the North Node is trying to do in Taurus and what the energy of the South Node is trying to do in Scorpio. And what's interesting, because with Taurus, Taurus is the builder, and very much the archetype for Taurus is the builder. And so Taurus is certainly willing to put in the time and the effort and the patience to say, okay, I'm just going to work on this and work on this and work on this. And then I'm going to, you know, I know I'm going to have something to show for that. And Scorpio, that energy can very much be, well, I desire this and this is what I want. And I want this now and I want it in this way. And then trying to find a way to call it forth and call it into manifestation, you know, depending on how much work it may or may not be willing to invest in it. And so that's one of the things that's interesting about this energy and where we're at right now with this lunar eclipse. It's really able for us to see you know, what is it that we're trying to create? What is it that we're trying to work on? And where are we in that process where we let go and let the universe step in and help co-create with us, knowing that that means that things will not necessarily be exactly the way that we look at, that we're looking at it, or the vision that we may exactly have in our mind, and that things may obviously certainly not be on the timeline that, again, we have in our mind, and the expectations that we have with something. And then Saturn comes along with this eclipse, and at 24 degrees of Aquarius says, okay, everyone, hold up. You know, we need to do a reality check here. What is it that you're working on? Is this something that really makes sense? Because that's the piece about Saturn, is that Saturn is always going to want to make sure that whatever it is that you're working on, that there is a point to it, and that it's not something that you're doing that is just going to end up in some way where there will not be any kind of growth, or that you'll end up just, you know, spinning your wheels and not actually evolving and maturing, because those are the two things that Saturn, as the teacher, wants us to do. It wants to know that whatever it's sending our way, that it is something that we are going to be able to grow from as well as mature from. And so here Saturn is in this Aquarius, and part of what Saturn wants to do in this square that it's having with both the sun and the moon and the north and south node, within this energy of Taurus and Scorpio. And what's interesting is that for Saturn and Aquarius, that's your fixed air. And so you literally at this lunar eclipse have your fixed earth, your fixed water, and your fixed air very much in a conversation. And for any of you that are Leos, what that does mean is that certainly depending on the degree point of at least your sun, and possibly other planets that would be in Leo, you're going to be experiencing Saturn opposing those planets in your natal chart. And so, you know, don't think that fixed fire is necessarily out of the conversation, because for you personally, it may not be, depending on the degree in which your Leo sun sits in your chart, because Leo is the sign that is opposite Aquarius. And so you will definitely be feeling, and this is part of why they were saying that all your fixed signs are going to be feeling this eclipse, because obviously it's taking place in Taurus and Scorpio, but then you have Saturn in a fixed sign squaring both Taurus and Scorpio, and then it's opposing whatever might be going on in the house of Leo and in the home of Leo, depending on what planets someone has and whether or not that might be an angle. Because you can have a situation where it can be like Leo could be your first or seventh house or your fourth or tenth house, and you may not have any planets in that particular sign, but the fact that that's an angle in your chart, one of the, you know, the prominent angles of the cross within your chart, then that is energy that you're absolutely feeling. So it isn't just the Taurus and Scorpions that are being impacted with this lunar eclipse. And the other thing to keep in mind with this too is that the personal planets that we experience on a day-to-day basis that are normally there to, you know, help us respond or react depending on where they are in our chart, they themselves are weakened on some level. And by that, I mean that they're not Mercury, Venus, and Mars right now, none of them are in a place right now where they're operating at their absolute strongest. So for Mars, Mars is in Pisces, basically just getting ready to prepare himself to move into Aries, which will be taking place on the 24th of May. And so it's almost like for Mars, he's just trying to wrap up a journey for, you know, what he's been doing the last year, year and a half, and you know, hanging out and getting himself ready to really kick things off once he moves into Aries. And so in Pisces, he very much has to be with his feelings, which isn't necessarily where Mars is most comfortable. And then you have Venus in Aries. And so for Venus, she's actually in detriment because the sign opposite Aries is Libra, which is what is the sign that she rules. And so again, she's not in her strongest of elements and signs by being in Aries. And then for her, Venus will be conjuncting with Chiron, the wounded healer, and that's going to be taking place right at right during this eclipse, because that's going to happen on the 15th of May, when she will be conjuncting with Chiron. And then you have Mercury. And what's interesting with Mercury is Mercury is in its home in Gemini, but Mercury is retrograde. And so being in retrograde, Mercury has slowed down, which I actually do feel is probably one of the positive things happening with this lunar eclipse. And I also feel that Pluto being in retrograde in Capricorn is a positive element for us as well. And so I feel like for Mercury, the slowing down is almost that Mercury's trying to say, I want to help you to integrate what's been happening. And I see this on, I feel this on two, in a two-folded way, in that Mercury's trying to help us integrate everything that's been taking place since the solar eclipse of April 30th and helping us through this lunar eclipse and whatever may come up and show up in our lives from that. And then keep in mind that this lunar eclipse is taking place 6 months from the lunar eclipse that took place in November. So we had a lunar eclipse in Taurus on November 19th of 2021. And then here we are 6 months later, about to have the full moon Scorpio lunar eclipse. And one of the things about eclipses is that, you know, as we say, that you can definitely feel things, you know, come to you and show up in your life very much that week before. And obviously while it's happening and a good week after. But then there's also these benchmark moments of an eclipse timeline. And one of them is your 3 month mark. And then the other is the 6 month mark. And then obviously the other is the year mark of like, where are you, you know, so basically where are you going to be 6 months from now, having had this lunar eclipse in Scorpio? Because 6 months from now, we're going to have another lunar eclipse in November that will be in Taurus. And that will be, you know, taking place a year after that very first lunar eclipse that we had in November of 2021. And so that's part of what the eclipse the eclipses want us to do is to be able to have a timeline to say, during this geocentric energy point that happened, where were we? What were we doing? How did we respond? And how did it help us grow and evolve? And what direction did it send us into? And from there, what were we able to do with that? And so that's very much with this eclipse, what I feel that we are going to be working with. And again, I'm certainly hoping for good weather, because I really would like to be able to experience this and see some of this. If not, I will rely on other people who have done beautiful jobs with the solar eclipse photos, and hopefully I'll be able to catch some of them online as well. One of the things I did want to touch on, because like I said, we have this, you know, Saturn basically, you know, Saturn's voice in this whole conversation is going to be very much that wanting to do a reality check and wanting us to make sure that we are seeing everything in very, you know, very clear-eyed, very logical, and detached. And so that's going to be one of those energies that will be interesting, considering that the South Node in Scorpio is part of what it wants to be able to help teach us is that detachment piece as well. One of the things that is also interesting to note, I will talk more about it on the next episode, but I did want to touch on it lightly with this episode, and that is that we have Mercury retrograde, obviously, and it will be moving back into Taurus on May 22nd. So it is right now in Gemini in its home. And again, I really do feel like it's trying to help us slow down and integrate information, especially if you have felt in the last, 6 months or so, certainly in the last month, if you have felt that you have just had a lot of information coming your way, a lot of experiences you've been dealing with. I just feel like this Mercury is trying to help us now that it's fully retrograde, to really help us slow down and integrate the information and the experiences and understand what it is that we might need to be going back to recheck something or rework something or review certain things that where you're like, oh, you know what? I thought I understood something that I was looking at 3 months ago or 6 months ago. And I think that if I just give myself, you know, another, you know, turnaround with that, that I'll really be able to absorb it and work with it and even then, you know, evolve and grow with it on a much stronger level. And so I definitely think that's something that would be hopefully what's Mercury's trying to do for us. The other piece to that, though, is that then on the 25th, Mercury will trine Pluto. And again, remember, Pluto's retrograde in Capricorn. And what's interesting about that trine is that they will cover the same degrees of the Taurus lunar eclipse that did take place on November of 2021, in November of 2021. And so that was something that I wanted to bring up for you. I do want to give you the timeline for the moon. The moon, by the way, I love that we have a Friday the 13th kind of kicking off the eclipse weekend. But we have the moon moving into Scorpio. And that will be happening on Saturday, May 14th at 6:34 a.m. That is when the moon officially moves into Scorpio. And then on Sunday, May 15th, and again, please keep in mind I'm using all Eastern times, we will have the moon opposing Uranus the planet of surprise, the planet of awakening. That will be taking place at 8:04 a.m. And then we will have the sun squaring Saturn on Sunday the 15th at 2:49 p.m. And please keep in mind, I'm giving you these times so that you understand this is the exact, but this energy will be felt as these planets and their orbs actually, you know, end up being so close to each other that their energies are merging and connected with each other. And that being said, one of the things that I do want to put out there for people to be aware of is that this could be a lunar eclipse where you feel very tired, or that you're more tired than usual, or that you might be moving slower than you normally do. And so this is certainly something to keep in mind and be gentle with yourself. So again, you know, as I do believe that the rule of thumb for eclipses is throw out the to-do list. Yes, we have Mercury retrograde, so that's great to grab hold of your to-do list and look at maybe what you haven't worked on or something that only is part done. But for the eclipses during that energy, do not try and put any pressure on yourself to make things happen or to insist something's going to get done. Do as much as you can to allow what is coming up for you and what may be coming into your life and towards you, to allow that to be and give yourself the grace that if you need to be frustrated by that, by all means be frustrated. If you need to, you know, just, you know, take some extra naps or have some relaxing baths, by all means, make sure that you do that. But I do feel that with this lunar eclipse, self-care is going to be very important, because these squares with Saturn can have the energy, just kind of drain the energy. And so it may not fully be there at the level that you're used to or that you want. And so that's one of the pieces that I just wanted you to be aware of. And then we have the moon squaring Saturn on Sunday at 11:38 p.m. And this is, you know, when this is happening, I mean, on Sunday, 11:38 p.m., and this is then all happening while the eclipse will be taking place. So again, hopefully we will be blessed that we will have good weather in the areas where we can actually view it. And if you're interested in viewing it, you might want to take a nap earlier in the day so you have the energy to be up and engaging for the eclipse while it's happening in your locale at night. And then the other interesting aspect that we have is we end with the moon trying Neptune at 11:40 a.m. on Sunday the 15th. And that's obviously the Sunday into Monday. And then the full moon itself is exact at 12:14 a.m. at 25 degrees Scorpio. And so I wanted to make sure that I let everyone be aware of what was happening with that. And again, we will have, the other piece I did want you to know, on the 18th, we have Mars, which is in Pisces, and that is going to conjunct Neptune on the 18th. And so that's important because, again, the window here, there's just a lot of movement with the planets right now that may have you feeling more that you're operating slower than you're used to. And so you just want to be able to embrace that as best as possible and kind of, you know, look at it and say, okay, I'm not getting this much done, but what else, what could I get done? you know, what's the one thing instead of the three things, or what's the two things instead of the 10 things? And so I, again, like I said, this is, I'm kicking off Eclipse Week. So I will be on Facebook and on Instagram with some lives and with some reels and some stories and posts and, you know, giving some good information. I will end this on the note that, because I'll do more of this on the lives and the post, but the chakras that are very much in the energy of this lunar eclipse are your root chakra and your sacral chakra, which is the lower abdomen. So your first and second chakras are very much the chakras that are involved with this full moon lunar eclipse. And I'm going to leave it on that note and let you know that I am able to be reached and followed on Facebook under Tricia Morrissey and also under Rooted in Starlight. And you can follow me on Instagram at Trisha.Morrissey.31. You can listen to this podcast on Apple and Spotify, Google and Stitcher. I know that you can no longer hear podcasts on Facebook. They have ended that. But I will definitely have the link for this on the Facebook, on my Facebook page. And if you are interested, we still have plenty of the May month left. If you're interested in a free calendar with the cosmic events, you can email me at rootedinstarlight, that is all one word, at gmail.com. And that is if you are interested in a calendar or if you just want to send some feedback. If you are interested and like the information I am providing, please subscribe, please like, and please leave me a 5-star review. I am grateful to all of you who have been following me and listening and providing me with feedback. I'm doing my best to make sure that I reach out to people on a regular basis, but I know I have not touched all of you. And with Mercury retrograde, that's something that's on my list. And so I do really appreciate it. And I am very, very grateful for your support and the enjoyment that you are hopefully getting from this podcast. And so I will end on the note that I always like to end on, which is reach high, for the stars lie hidden in your soul. Take care, everyone. You will see me out and about on the social media platforms over these next several days so that we can, you know, welcome in this lunar eclipse together and with as much information as we may need. Thank you and God bless.